First John chapter 5. I've talked with you before about the fact that when we are sharing our faith with someone who is not a Christian, basically I think it is unnecessary to try to convince them that they are a sinner. Because I believe that most sinners know that they are sinners. And they know that they're missing it. There's some, possibly, that don't want to admit it. But I believe on the inside, people know. But there is something that the majority of mankind does not know, and I believe they need to know. It would be beneficial and helpful for them to know so that they would receive Christ as their Lord. And this has never been majored. This has never been taught very much, and it's certainly never been told on any dimension at all to the people in the world. And if the world knew this, it would make a tremendous difference. So the message this morning is going to be about that. We call it, Mankind is Dead. In 1 John chapter 5, it says in verse 12, He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If someone doesn't have life, they are dead. Very profound statement. You say, I don't understand. Well, you hang on. You'll understand more as we go along. First of all, we must realize that in the New Testament, through the Greek language, that there were several words, at least five words that were used that are all translated by our one English word, life. The word that was used in this particular instance was the Greek word zoe, spelled Z-O-E, and it means the life of God, the kind of life God has, God's life. This says, He that has a Son, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, has the life. But he that hath not the Son hath not life. He does not have life. Now, it's not talking about the future. It's talking about the present, that he does not have life. Well, if you don't have life, then you're dead. So, mankind, that is, mankind apart from Christ, is dead. Let's look at some other references. Let's look at 1 John chapter 3 and verses, verse 14 and verse 15. We know, now we here, of course, is talking about we, which applies to the saints in Christ, those that are in Christ. This is who this is written to, and that's who the author would be included with. When you talk about we people, let's say you're referring to those that live in Denver, we Denverites, you're talking about we here in Colorado, you don't include the people in India with that, do you? You look at them, you'd call them they. It's we and they. It's us and them, right? Well, we. This is we. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Now listen to this. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Many people, when they think of eternal life or everlasting life, which are synonymous terms in the New Testament, in fact, they're exactly the same words in the Greek language, eternal life and everlasting life. When we think of eternal life, we think of living forever. But in truth, in reality, that's not what the Scripture is referring to when it talks of eternal life. And we see that that cannot be true, that would be what it's referring to by this verse here. Notice it did not say, we know that no murderer has eternal life waiting for him in heaven. It says, no murderer hath eternal life abiding or living in him. Eternal life is something that lives in a person. Eternal life is a thing, a substance, a quality, or a stuff that would be on the inside of a person. You see, it could be correctly called the life of the eternal one. The life of God. The life of the one who has lived for all eternity. That is why it is eternal, because it is God's life. And eternal is not referring so much to the length of it, to the duration of it in its sense of time, but to its quality. Let me read to you a note from the translator's New Testament on this. It says, and I quote, in the New Testament, eternal life is that kind of life which is given to all true believers in Christ. The word eternal draws attention to the quality of that life, not to its duration in a temporal sense. In other words, not to the length of time. Thus, eternal life can be experienced by believers even while subject to the temporal conditions of earthly life. Translators should be careful to avoid expressions which mean no more than a timeless continuation of life after death. Eternal life doesn't mean living forever after you leave this physical body. Everyone is going to exist forever and ever and ever after they leave their physical body in this earth atmosphere. But not everyone will have life. I'll go ahead and give you my illustration, because maybe then you'll be better able to receive as we go on this. This is a wonderful illustration. Picture in your imagination, if you will, please, that you have two little cars. You may have seen them advertised on TV, in the catalogs, in the toy stores, or at a friend's house. These are the kind of toys that are remote control cars. Maybe they're a Porsche or some kind of a race car. And you have a little control module, and you put batteries in the car. It has a little antenna sticks up. You push the button, and it goes. And how many of you can understand what I'm talking about? If you've never heard of these, well, you could imagine it. You could, couldn't you? You have two of these. Now, they run on batteries. Now, let's say we take these two cars directly off of the shelf. Why not put in a plug for Sears? They're the nation's biggest retailer, supposedly. We go down to Sears and we take them... Sorry to anybody that would like me to use someone else. We take them off of the shelf, brand new, out of the boxes, and we set them down on the floor. We push the button, nothing happens. Why? There's no batteries in them. Okay. So, we are smart, so we put batteries in them, both. However, then when we push the button, they'll go, right? However, after a period of days and weeks, little Junior has been pushing the button regularly on his car. And he comes to us and says, Daddy, Mama, the car doesn't work anymore. I pushed the button and it just sits there. We know that the batteries are probably dead. The car looks the same, but there's no life, no energy in the batteries. And if you turn on the switch, I've seen them, they have a little switch. I forgot to tell you, they have a little switch. Not only do they have a little button to push, but they have a little switch on the car. One says on, one says off. You go and you look at the car, you check, yeah, the switch is on. Yeah, pushing the button, doesn't seem to be anything broken. It looks the same as it did before, but when you push the button, it doesn't move. Why? The batteries are dead. Now, that I believe is a very good illustration of mankind, because man came off of the Creator's creating place. He didn't come off an assembly line. I about slipped. Man was created by God, and he had this charge in his spirit on the inside of him. He had life in him. However, in not following God's directions, he shorted out. And the life that was in him went kaput. The light went out. The life was gone out of his spirit. God said to Adam, if we go back to the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, he said, Adam, in the day that you eat of this tree that I have told you not to eat of, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he says, in that day you shall surely die. Adam didn't die physically that day. He didn't leave his body. But something that was in his body, something that was even deeper than in his body, it was in his heart, in his inner man, something was in there, went out. It was a life, and that went out that day. His batteries got shorted out, so to speak. Now we come along, let's look at it from God's standpoint, or let's do it from an angel's standpoint. That'd be better. We're looking down at mankind. Here's Adam and Eve on the earth. They look just the same as they did basically the day before. Just like our car, it had batteries in it. We put batteries in it. The batteries are still in there. We open up the little flap. The batteries are still in there. Yes, the on switch is on. Yes, we're pushing the button. But it doesn't work like it was designed to. It didn't work like it did before. And so the angel looks down at man and can see that's the same situation. Yes, man looks the same. He's in this, so far as he has 10 fingers, 2 eyes, 1 nose, 2 ears, 2 arms, 2 legs. But he's not operating the same as he was before. Before he was walking in love. Before he was walking in faith. Now he's not. There seems to be a darkness about him. There seems he's not what God, he's not doing and being what God created him to be and do. So man died. Just as you can have dead batteries, well, you can have dead men. Now, I haven't finished with this point that man is dead. We'll look at some other scriptures. But we've got to look at it again from the angel's standpoint or God's standpoint, but I just think from the angel's standpoint it'd be good. When we look at man from God's standpoint or from an angelic standpoint, we see one thing. But when we look at it from the natural standpoint, just the way that you and I naturally look at man, we think man is all right. We can think man is not dead. Why, he's not at all dead. Look at him out there. Look at that man running. Why, he's running fast. He runs a mile in under 4 minutes. That's not dead. He's full of life. Look at that man. He's jumping 5 or 6 feet up in the air over a bar. He's not dead. Well, if he's dead, he'd just be laying there. He couldn't jump that high. We look at man and we see all the things that he's doing. We look at the buildings, the great mighty skyscrapers that he's built. We think, man's not dead. We think from the natural standpoint, what do you mean, preacher? Man is not functioning the way God intended for him to. Well, he's reproducing. He's creating. He's building buildings. He's building houses. He's having children. He's raising families. He's writing books. He's reading books. He's going to college. He's going to universities. What do you mean man is not operating the way God intended for him to? What do you mean that man is dead? Okay, let's go back to our cars, our toy cars. If you had never seen, and probably some of you may not have, if you had never seen a little car that was battery powered and that would go on its own, if you'd never seen one of those, and you came upon one that had dead batteries that wouldn't do anything but just sit there, you might think, this is really great. This is a wonderful car. Well, when I was 10 years old, I built a model and it took me 2 years and it didn't look half as pretty as this. You might think, this is really a nice car. This is a lot nicer than I had when I was growing up, because all we had was just some old tin cans and we just slid them around on the ground and played like they were cars or horses or whatever. You might think, this really looks good. Well, if I push it, it'll go and this is wonderful. But that, you see, is not looking at it from the standpoint of the person that created it, that designed it, that knows what it's meant to accomplish. I submit to you that from God's standpoint, from the angel's standpoint, from someone in the heavenly realm, that mankind, who the Bible says is dead, is operating on such a low level that if we would ever see what God intended for man, we would see there's just as much difference between the very best that man has ever accomplished in the world and what we're capable of doing in Christ Jesus when we receive the life of God in us, as there is a difference between the car without batteries or with dead batteries and the one with charged up batteries. In other words, I'm saying we have got to look at this from God's standpoint. This is God's word. This is God's revelation. This is God telling us how he sees it. And he's saying man's dead. We look at man and say, well, they don't look dead. They're pretty alive to me. But God's saying man is dead. The life has gone out of him. What is death? Death is the absence of life. What is darkness? Darkness is the absence of light. Well, death is the absence of life. The definition that was taught to me on death is separation from God. But I got to thinking about that. What is separation from God? Who is God? He's life. So if you're separated from God, you're separated from life. That means the absence of life. The absence of life means death. Death is the absence of life. And in this case, we're not talking about just natural human life. We're not talking about, let me say this another way, prefacing it by saying that I do not believe in evolution from monkeys. However, when we are talking about people living, we're normally thinking about animal life. In other words, it's the same kind of life that makes your body go, that makes that tiger jump up and eat you. I mean, it's not the God kind of life. It's just natural. I was calling it natural human life. Now I call it animal life. Not implying that you are an animal, but only saying that the kind of life that gives motion to your body, and just because your body will move and jump up and down, your brain will think and all that, that doesn't mean that you have the kind of life that a human being was created to have. You're just operating on this lower level, on this animal life level, see? Well, man is dead. I've used the example before of a refrigerator. If you unplug the refrigerator out of the electric socket in the wall, then the refrigerator will look the same. It'll feel the same. You can put food in there. You can open the door and take the food out. But the food is not going to be as you desired it to be, especially if you leave it in there for several days or several weeks. It's liable to come out green or brown, different color than you put it in. You say, well, at my mother's house it didn't do this, so I put food into the refrigerator and it never came out green there. My refrigerator is the same kind. It's an ABC refrigerator. I bought it down there at XYZ company. I paid good money for it. Why isn't it working? I believe I'll just call the president of the company. Well, if it's not plugged in, it is separated from its life source. It's dead. It's dead. It's separated from life. It has no life in it, no ability to function according to the design. And that's the way with man. When you look at it from God's standpoint, man wasn't created to be a beast. I mean that not in the sense of being a monkey, but acting like a monkey. Or worse. Worse. There isn't a monkey in the world that's ever lived, that's ever acted as bad as man does. Monkeys don't go around doing atrocities that man has been guilty of. No animal does. There's nothing on this planet that's fallen as low as man. It's horrible. I'm not talking about, well, I am talking about all mankind. Maybe not that low, but all have sinned. All have missed it. All have fallen short of the design of the Creator. You see, God intended that man should be a love person. That man should walk in love, the God kind of love. And when death came into his spirit, when life was extinguished, when he died spiritually, forget it. Man did not walk in God kind of love anymore. Now he walked in selfishness. Now he walked in hatred. Now he walked in fear. God intended for man to walk in faith. God intended for man to use words formed out of his mouth that were conceived in his heart and spoken in agreement with God's will, to govern, to rule, and to reign, to have dominion in this earth realm. Was man doing that? No. His words became perverted. His words became filled with fear and doubt. Instead of being the ruler, instead of being the one that had dominion and exercised it, now he was the one that was being tossed around by circumstances. Now he was the one that was having to run and hide. Now he was the one that was afraid, that was always the loser. That wasn't God's intention. You see, if we can tell the world this message that they are dead, and we can get them to see that when they receive Jesus Christ, they will receive the gift of God. And that gift, according to Romans 6:23, is eternal life, or the life of God. You see, if we let the world know that when they receive Jesus, it's not just getting religion, it's not just turning over a new leaf, but it's receiving a gift from God that they need. You could realize if you had a little toy car and the batteries are dead and it wouldn't work, you could realize you needed some new batteries or charge up the old ones, right? Most anybody that's been around in our age for any time could realize that, here in our country at least. Well, get some new batteries. The batteries are probably dead. Well, if we can get mankind to see that they are dead on the inside. They are dead on the inside, that they need life on the inside, and they can receive that life as a free gift by receiving Jesus Christ. Then I believe they'll be more interested. Let's look now to John, the 6th chapter. John chapter 6. Let's look at verse 53. Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Well, if you have no life in you, that means you are dead. Right? If there's an absence of life, that means death. If there's no life, there's death. Let me say it this way to you. Jesus is saying, if you don't partake of me, If you don't receive me, in other words, if you don't become one with me, partake of me, you're not going to have any life in you. He's not talking about some bizarre heathen ritual where we'd have to find the decayed body, which there is no such thing because he was raised from the dead bodily as well as every other way, but where we'd have to find his old decayed body and cut off a chunk off of it and eat it physically. That's not what he's talking about. It could not be possible that that was what he's talking about, because no one ever did. No one ever could have. His body was raised from physical death, wasn't it? And yet we've already found out further on back in the epistles that there were people that had life in them. Jesus said, unless you partake of me, you have no life in you. He didn't say you're not existing, you're not living in the animal sense, your body's not moving, your brain is not thinking. He's saying you don't have any life on the inside of you. And therefore, even though you look like a refrigerator, you feel like a refrigerator, you can put food on the inside like a refrigerator, you're not acting like a refrigerator was supposed to act. You're not doing what a refrigerator was designed to do, to use our illustration. You're not operating on that level. You might say, but I just don't understand that. Well, you've got to see it from God's standpoint to see that God is the creator, the designer, the one that created man. And he is saying man is not doing and cannot do what he was created to do and to be because he's dead. He's dead. Now let's go to Ephesians, the second chapter. Of course, we know that Ephesians is written to those that are in Christ. Verse 1 of chapter 1 says, to the faithful in Christ Jesus, those that are in union with Christ, those that have received Jesus, come into union with Him, therefore been born again, received eternal life. But in chapter 2, verse 1, we read, and you hath He quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. It says you were dead. Now this is not written to people in heaven. This is written to people on the earth. And it said you have been made alive. Those of you, you were dead, but now you're made alive. Put yourself in their shoes. You might think, wait a minute, I've never been to the cemetery before. He is talking about spiritual death. The same thing he was talking about when he said to Adam in the garden, in the day that you eat of the fruit of this tree in rebellion and disobedience against me, you're going to die. The real you, the inner man, the spirit, the heart of man. He said, you were dead in trespasses and sins. And in verse 5 it says it again, even when we were dead, we were dead in sins, hath quickened or made us alive together with Christ. So, I believe we've established the fact sufficiently that man was dead and is still dead without Christ. Now, let's go back to the book of John. Let's go back to the third chapter of the book of John, to a very familiar passage, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why did Jesus come to the world? So that man could have life. This is the reason, the primary, the main reason for Jesus coming to this planet. That dead man could have life. In John 10:10, we've thought of this most of the time in a different way. And this is true, but it's not the basic foundation truth that he's talking about. We thought when Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly, we thought he was talking about a more abundant life. Like, praise God, since I have been a Christian, things have just been going better for me. I've got more friends and I'm driving a better car. I used to be driving a Volkswagen and now I'm driving a Oldsmobile. I used to live in a two-bedroom house and now I'm living in a four-bedroom house. Praise God, Jesus has given me a more abundant life. Well, that's true. I'm not saying that's not true, but that's not what he meant. What he meant is, I'm come that you might have life, because you were dead. You were dead. So he says, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it in all its fullness, that you might have it overflowing in you, that you might have an abundance of this God kind of life. Jesus said, that's the reason for my coming. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Why? Because the world was dead in trespasses and sins. They were separated from God who is life. They were unplugged from their source of life. And therefore, they were not functioning. They were not operating as God designed them to. Somebody says, oh, you mean it has nothing to do with heaven and hell? Well, that's just the end destination. And even at that, not the end destination, heaven at least. Because we're only going to be in heaven for a while before we come back here to the earth with Jesus. But being in heaven or hell is just the result of where you are put, depending on whether you're dead or alive, spiritually. So you'll fit in. So you'll be in the right environment. So you'll be with those of your kind. In John 10:10, when he says, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly, he's talking about having the God kind of life. I'm come that they might have Zoe, the God kind of life in them. Now that life will produce a more abundant life as we think of it. That life in you will produce riches and wealth and honor and health and all the blessings of God that are in Christ Jesus. But that's not its primary meaning. Now, let's go back to our car illustration. Some might say, this sounds real good to preach, Pastor. Sounds real good. Yeah. Man receives the life of God. But you know something? I don't see any difference, Pastor, in most Christians and most people in the world. They don't seem much different to me, lots of them. Oh, there's a few. Maybe like a Oral Roberts or a Billy Graham. I can see a difference in them. But most Christians, just your run-of-your-mill average church-going Christian, they receive this eternal life. If this really was God's life and it's so great like you say, well, I just don't see that much difference. I received eternal life and it wasn't like somebody put new batteries in me and just turned me on and I just went like that. Wasn't like that at all. Let's go back to our car illustration. And that is, just because you get new batteries, just because you get a tremendous charge, you not only get new batteries, but thank God your batteries are then hooked up to Jesus, who is the source of life. We'll look at a scripture here in a minute where he says that he has this life in himself. He has it. He's full of it. Hallelujah. He's the generator of it. But there is one more thing that that car is going to have after it gets the new batteries. It's going to have the switch pushed from off to on. And the switch, the Lord told me, is faith in his word. In other words, you could boil it down to this, acting on the word of God. Because faith is not only something that you think, but it's going to influence what you do. Faith will result in action. So even though you're born again, even though you got the life of God in you, you got new batteries, you're full of that life of God, unless your switch is turned on by faith in God's word, you're still going to sit there and not really accomplish much. But if you will take faith in God's word, you'll be turning on the switch and allowing that power that's on the inside of you that you received when you were born again, when you became a child of God, when you got new batteries, new life in your spirit, you'll be turning on the switch so the power can flow and manifest in your life, and you can do and you can be as you were designed to do and be. That's the reason why that just because someone does receive eternal life, we don't necessarily see that much difference in them. Because even if they have eternal life, just like if you put new batteries in our car, it's not going anywhere until it's turned on. And this power that's in you that you receive when you receive Jesus as your Lord, this power is not going to be released unless the switch of faith is turned on. And I have news for you. You are the one that turns that switch on or off, not God. You are the one that was created with the will to choose. So you have to choose. But if you'll make that choice and say, I am going to walk in faith, I'm going to follow the instructions of God's Word, I'm going to act on God's Word, His instructions to me, then you will begin to see that power that the Bible says is in you, that life, that ability, that power that's in you, that God kind of life, you'll begin to see it flow and manifest in your life. You'll begin to see your life rise up into a new dimension. You'll begin to see that you can walk and talk and live as God intended for you to. When He created you, you can walk in faith, you can walk in love, you can walk in victory, you can walk in fellowship with God, you can walk in wisdom, you can walk in the realm of the Spirit and know what's going on in the Spirit realm. Hallelujah. And not perish, not be lost, not be defeated. But rise up as you allow that life to flow through you. We're in John, the 3rd chapter. Let's go over to the 5th chapter. Let's begin reading in verse 25. Well, let's go back to verse 24 too. Jesus is speaking, John 5, 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Again, he's not talking about going to live forever. He's talking about a substance. He's talking about a quality of life. He's talking about a certain kind of life that a person has that believes on him. Now, why is that? Because if a person believes on Jesus, they receive Jesus, they receive this gift of God, which is eternal life. They receive the life of God. God imparts unto them his life. In other words, God puts in new batteries. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's got new batteries, a new spirit. Our spirit is full of life. Our spirit has that life of God in it. If we receive Jesus. And it shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Doesn't say he's going to pass from death to life when he leaves his body. After they have the funeral, then he's going to pass from death to life. Oh, when he gets to heaven, then he's going to pass out of that earth realm. Oh, it's death. That's a bad, bad place down there, death. And up here in heaven, this is life. He's passed into a life. This is really life up here. It's not what he's talking about. It didn't say heaven there. He says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life and is passed from death unto life. He can't be talking about physical death, physical life, because you're not physically dead yet. Neither were they. He is spiritual life and spiritual death. Passed out of having a dead spirit unto having a live spirit. Passed out of having no life on the inside of you to having the God kind of life on the inside of you. The very life of God himself. Now listen to verse 25. And remember the time when Jesus was saying this. He didn't say this last Thursday. He said it before he died on the cross and rose again. Therefore, he said it before the beginning of this church age. He said it before he had redeemed man. Now, he knew he was going to. He was talking about it here like he already had. But he said this before He died for us. Verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming. He's not talking about heaven here. He's talking about the hour that's now. The hour is coming and now is. Would you allow me the liberty to add something to the Bible? I don't really mean it in a bad sense, but I think if you'll just examine this, listen to what I have to say. If it sets right with you, okay. If not, well, just don't accept it. It don't matter. I won't fight with you. I won't argue about it. But here's what I believe Jesus was saying. You listen to this and see what you think. He's saying the hour is coming and now is upon us. Or now is at hand. In other words, if you say the hour is coming and now is, you've had a contradiction, haven't you? Because if it's coming, it's not now. If something is in the future, it's not now, is it? Tomorrow is not now, is it? Is 5 minutes from now now? No. So Jesus had to be saying, the hour is coming and is now upon us. It's right at the door. It's right at hand. This time that I'm talking about, it's right at hand. It's not 2,000 years away. He's saying it's right at hand. What? When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many of you thought that was talking about when Jesus came again? I said I'm not asking for a show of hands. We have one that's just anxious, to be honest. That's all right. But that's not what he's talking about. You see, he's talking from the spiritual standpoint, just like he was talking there in the verse previously. He's saying that those that are dead in trespasses and sins, after I raise from the dead, then they're going to have the privilege of receiving me and receiving life. And if they hear my voice, if they obey my word and receive me as their Lord, then they are going to be raised from the dead. Hallelujah. Or they're going to live. They that hear shall live. The hour is coming and now is, now is upon us, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Only those that hear and obey are going to find life. Only those that obey the gospel, that obey the good news by receiving God's free gift in the Lord Jesus Christ, only those are going to have that life. The others are going to be dead. And they're going to look at themselves and say, well, I look just exactly like that car up on the shelf down at Sears. I'm not all beat up. I'm not dead. I don't have my arm cut off. I don't have my fenders dented in. They're going to say, I'm not dead. I can run a mile. I can jump over a chair. I'm not dead. Look at me. But from God's standpoint, the Creator's standpoint, who knows what they're supposed to do and be, they're dead. And as long as they just look at it from the natural, I'm not dead, they're going to miss it. But if we can get them to see and tell them the message that you are dead on the inside and there's only one way that you're going to get life on the inside of you, and that is by receiving the gift of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You see, a lot of people say, well, I think one religion is just as good as another. Well, as somebody else says, I guess they're right. None of them are any good. Jesus didn't say, I'm the only religion. I'm starting the only religion that's going to work. He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But then he went on to say, No man comes unto the Father but by me. Why? You mean to stand up there and tell me that everybody that doesn't believe in Jesus, that doesn't receive Him, is not going to make it? That's exactly what I'm telling you. You mean if they're sincere, what if they've been a Buddhist all their life? Or they were in some other religion, Shinto or Islam or any other religion. even the Christian religion without Christ, without receiving Christ. That's exactly what Jesus said. He said, no person, no human is going to come unto the Father except by me. Why is that? Because he's the only one that had life. Muhammad never had this God kind of life in him to give to his followers. Buddha never had this God kind of life. Confucius never had this God kind of life. They were dead men. Dead in trespasses and sins. Dead in their spirits. Oh, they might have done good things. They might have been better than some of their contemporaries of the day. They might have lived a lot better life than Tom, Dick, and Harry down the street did in their city. But they were still in the sight of God, who knows the truth and sees things as they really are. They were dead. And they had no ability. They had and still do not have any ability to transmit life into their followers. See, God is not interested in having a bunch of deadbeats around heaven. God is not interested in living with a bunch of dead people that aren't going to operate and be what they're supposed to be. God has decreed it that only those that are alive are going to live with Him. Only those that are alive in spirit are going to be in His realm, in His company. Therefore, He's given man the chance as a free gift to receive this life so he can be alive, so he can live with God forever. If man refuses this life, it's out of God's hands. It's in man's hands. It's in man's hands whether to receive this gift or to reject this gift. Cotton Patch says in 25th verse, says, I'm telling you, the time is coming, it's here already, when the lifeless ones will tune in to the voice of God's Son, and having heard Him, will come alive. Come alive. Then in verse 26, as we go on, Jesus said, for as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself. You see, just as God had this kind of life in Him, so Jesus of Nazareth had this kind of life in Him. In fact, He was the only human being that walked on the face of this earth that did have this life in Him. All of the rest of the people were dead men. They were dead in trespasses and sins. But Jesus, born of a virgin, coming into this world as a sinless, spotless one, without that taint of spiritual death, without being under that legal authority and dominion that man had passed under because of Adam's transgression, He came into this world full of life in His spirit. And that's why He could walk around and just kick, He could just kick the devil around wherever He found him. A lot of people think, oh, Jesus of Nazareth, He did that because He was the Son of God. Yes and no. He did it not to try to prove anything, but because He was full of that life of God that a Son of God has. That's why wherever He found the devil, ran up against him. Well, He is able just to walk all over him. That's why He's able to walk in victory while He's here on the earth. He wasn't doing it just to prove He was a Son of God. He was doing it because He had that life and He had His switch turned on. He was walking in faith, and so that life that was within Him flowed out, and He just walked in victory every day, all the time. See, Jesus of Nazareth is our example. The Scripture says that. Of course, He's more than that. He's our Savior. He's a Redeemer. And just trying to act like Jesus isn't going to get it. But when you receive the same life on the inside of you that He has on the inside of Him, I say this not to be irreverent, but so you can understand it. If I have ever-ready batteries on the inside of me, and we put ever-ready batteries on the inside of you, we got the same power source. If we got the same... We're the same design. We're designed to do the same thing, and we're human beings. Jesus of Nazareth took on the form of a man. He didn't come in here as God. He came in here as man. He was God, but He took upon Himself the form of a man, form of flesh, body. Well, if we got the same life in Him, in us as was in Him, then if we turn the switch on, we'll be able to do the same works that He did. You say, well, that's just too hard to believe. Well, believe Jesus. He said it, those exact words in John the 12th chapter, verse 14. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, The works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Excuse me, it's 14:12. John 14:12, that's exactly what Jesus said. He that believeth on me. Why is that? Well, if we believe on him, he said we'll have eternal life. We get that life in us, and then if we'll turn the switch on, the switch of faith, and act on God's word, in obedience on God's word, then we'll be able to do just as Jesus of Nazareth did when he walked on this earth. I'm not talking about dying for mankind on the cross. Oh, we'll be able to go out and die on the cross. No, I'm talking about walking free from sickness, having dominion over the forces of nature that would try to hurt and destroy and kill, and setting people free. That's what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. And if you realize that you've got this life, this same life on the inside of you, and it'll do for you what it did for him, enable him to walk in victory. Praise the Lord. Instead of getting bogged down in the mud, getting in the same old rut, get new batteries. Turn the switch on. Push the button and go, run, run, run. Take off. Hallelujah. Just leave the devil in the dust. Leave him in the dust with this life. You've got that ability. You've got it in you. Because the Son of God, if you receive Jesus, and this is the only way that man can come into God's presence. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only one that had this ability to give life to his followers, to those that received him. And without that life, a man remains dead in death, in trespasses and sins. Let's look at a little bit more here. Let's go to John the 6th chapter, verse 33. Jesus said, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. One translation says, what comes down from heaven and furnishes life to the world, imparts life, the life of God to the world. You see, that was Jesus' purpose in coming. If you ask the man on the street, hey, why do you think Jesus came? They wouldn't give you that answer. They might say, oh, that Jesus, the Christian religion Jesus, you mean? Well, I don't know why I came. I guess just to either so we'd get saved, they might say, like something. Well, that's right. He came that we get saved. But what does saved mean? What happens when you get saved? What happens when you get delivered? You get new life. Delivered from what? Saved from what? Saved from death. You mean we won't ever die? He's not talking about physical death. He's talking about the death that's on the inside of you if you've never received Jesus. You can get saved from that. You can be set free from that death. You can get your batteries charged. You can have new life on the inside of you. And it's a free gift. The world doesn't know that, do they? And yet Jesus said over and over, that's the reason why I came. That's my purpose in being here. And so on and so forth. John 6:47. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I'm the bread of life. Or as one translation says, I am the life imparting bread. In other words, if you partake of me, you'll receive life. I have life in me. And you receive me, then you'll have life in you. Praise the Lord. John 6:51. Jesus said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. The bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. One translation says, the bread which I will give to bring the world to life. To bring the world to life. To bring life to the world. Jesus came to bring life to the world. The world was dead, separated from God, unplugged. Their batteries had run down. Mankind shorted out when he got into sin. He was never designed to walk in rebellion and sin. And Adam shorted out there in the garden. And ever since, man has been dead. Dead spiritually. Jesus said, I'm come that people can have life, life, life. The life of God. The same life that's in God they can have in them. It's a gift. The gift of God. Eternal life. Romans 6:23. And how do we receive it? We receive it by receiving Jesus. He's the only way. He said, I Not a set of creeds, not a church, not church membership, but he said, I am the way. I am the way. The only way. He said, I'm the truth. I'm the embodiment of the truth. What I say is truth. I am truth. And he said, I'm the life. I have life in me, and I'll impart it to all those that receive me. And he says, no man comes unto the Father but by me. In Revelation, you don't need to look at it. 20, verse 15, it says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life, the book of Zoe, was cast into the lake of fire. That's a sad verse to end on. But did you notice Revelation 20:15? It didn't say whoever wasn't good enough, whoever didn't cross their I's right and dot their T's. Were you listening? You think about that when you get home. Whoever didn't do right, they're cast in the lake of the fire. Whoever didn't do this and didn't do that. No, it says whoever wasn't found written in the book of Zoe, if their name wasn't written down, that they had life in them, if they didn't have that Zoe life,